Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to everybody gathered with us in worship today, tomorrow, whenever. We are part of one great community gathered to glorify God's name. We have been requested to join the Christian Church in also focusing on creation and on climate this year. As you would be well aware, the United Nations COP26 climate conference will be held in Glasgow, end of October and beginning of November. And we've been requested to take a Sunday somewhere in the year, and we've decided to do this today, to focus on creation, on climate, and to think about what we as Christians would like to see, what we as Christians would like to see as our approach to all the issues that have surfaced around us. So today we will celebrate our Creator God. May all be blessed by our time together in worship. May God's name be glorified. I call on Alistair to lead us with the intimations.
Thank you. It's just not many intimations this morning. We have our usual activities after the service at 12:15 or close to it. We'll start our Sunday lockdown chat. On Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we try to remember to take a few moments out of what we're doing to pray for our church and its future. And then on Wednesday evening, we have our midweek chat. As you'll know, Andrew Kirkby's funeral is to be held in the church here at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. And there's quite a significant number of people from the congregation and friends of the congregation who have decided to come along to that. And I know from conversations with the family that is a great support and will be a great support and encouragement to them on Tuesday. For those who are not coming, the service, as with all our other services, will be live streamed on the SALU Facebook page, and also the service will be recorded and you'll be able to access that on YouTube afterwards. I will be in touch with those who are planning to come to the service and later on, just with some details about access and movement within the building and that kind of thing. Thank you.
Can I add my welcome to you all as well? It's great to be here and to share our worship together. And can we start that with the introit from CH4, number 770. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and we'll sing it through twice.
Oh,
Reading from Psalm 95, the first 7 verses. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. And now, as we start this time of worship, let's join with the psalmist and share his heartful of praise with ours as we sing from CH4, number 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let us pray. Lord, we come now in worship, adoration, and thanksgiving to you, the Creator of all things. You who created and existed beyond the depths of the tiniest atom to the furthest galaxy, things that our limited mind cannot even begin to comprehend, except to describe as the infinite. You were there before time began and will be there way past its ending. You created and are Lord of other worlds that we cannot even measure, touch, and sense, far beyond our wildest dreams. As we look at your creation, we feel so insignificant and helpless. And yet you created us in your own image and chose us to be your children. You are our Father, not only because you made us, but because you have placed us in your family. Sometimes it is hard for us to grasp the extent of your love for us and the security of your arms around us, and how much you cherish and nurture us in spite of our tendency to turn away from you and go our own way. At times we may even be like Adam and allow our fear to tempt us to hide from you. Forgive us for those times and open our eyes and hearts to your perfect love, that our fears may be driven away and we may truly experience the security that we have in you. Lord Jesus, Son of God, through whom and for whom the Father created all things, we worship you. We are bowled over that in spite of your majesty, in your amazing love, you should choose to leave your position and become like one of us. You freely chose through excruciating pain to bear the consequences of our rebellion and be forsaken by your Father, so that we might once more be united with him. Forgive us that so often we behave like a drowning man, struggling and trying to save himself. At times we find it so hard just to accept the amazing gift you have given us and continue to struggle in the mistaken belief that somehow we can win the Father's approval again by our own efforts. Lord, we are so amazed that now you live in us and that we live in you. We find it so hard to even begin to grasp what this means in reality, and pray that you would open our hearts and minds so that we would start to understand and experience the truth of this relationship and the privileged position you have put us in. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you come in power and life and fire. Thank you that you choose to express yourself through us in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Forgive us that we are so often such poor witnesses to your changing life and power, as we find it so hard to let go of our old way of being. Help us, Lord. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask that you would accept our humble attempts at worship as we meet together this morning. And we begin this time with the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. There was a member in my previous congregation in South Africa, a journalist. Since he had been a schoolboy, he had developed an interest in the stars and the vast world out there, the macrocosmos, he calls it. And eventually also in the microcosmos, the world of quarks and atoms and neutrons and the smallest little particles. And about 20 years ago, he wrote a book that caused quite a stir, because he just said, for him as a practicing Christian, the deeper he read into this, the more he discovered about the world of the macrocosmos and the microcosmos, the more he found God in the mystery. The book was called Die Groot Gedachte. the big thought, and that's Gideon Hubert, a photograph taken about 20 years, unfortunately deceased by now. But it was a marvelous book, filled with wonders. And when you read it, you couldn't help just thinking, how great thou art. We're going to end today's worship service with how great thou art, singing that. But that's what he did. We asked him to do a presentation in our church in one of our evening services aimed at young adults. And he did a beautiful thing. I was over to his house one evening to help him with his PowerPoint presentation, because though very well versed in the macrocosmos and the microcosmos, PowerPoint still confounded him. And we drew these beautiful pictures from Hubble photographs from the internet, and he was amazed at the clarity of the photographs again. And at the end of the evening, I felt as if I'd wandered in God's presence in a marvelous way. And as he walked me out of his house, when we left by the front door, we were facing south, and it was a winter's evening. It was dark already. And the scorpion had risen in the south. It's very clear in the southern hemisphere. And when he saw it, he said, "Can you see that bright red star in the neck of the scorpion?" He said, "That's Antares. Antares is one of the red giants. It's huge," he said. "It's not the biggest of the red giants, but it's huge." He said, if it would try to pass between the earth and the sun. Now remember, he said, we're quite far away from the sun. It takes light at the speed at which it travels, which is mind-boggling, 7.5 minutes roughly to reach the earth from the sun. If Antares tried to move between the earth and the sun, it would bump on both sides. And we stood there for a moment in awe before he could see me off at the car. And now to take us deeper into that awe, I'm going to ask Sheila if she would read Psalm 19 for us.
Psalm 19, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. One of the many things I've come to appreciate about Scottish people is their love for walks. Short walks in our area, but sometimes longer walks. Now, this past week, Nick and Willie spent time on a longer walk in Ben Lower's Nature Reserve. And here are some of the pictures that Willie took. And you'll all agree it's a beautiful, beautiful area. I like this one especially. I wish I could have shown you a bit more. When you do walks like this, you come to a point where you discover that what you see is more than mere beauty. It's as if the longer you spend on the trail, the closer you get to God. And you get to a point where you agree with Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out in all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Psalm 19 says that creation speaks to us, but we can't hear it. Well, how do you know it speaks to you then? I think the clue is found in the last verse of the psalm. May these words, this picture of creation proclaiming the glory of God, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It seems the force between everything that's written about creation and about the law that he adds on is written from this stance, from this passion, a passion for the glory of God. That's what gives you the ability to hear the sound of the unheard, unhearable voice of nature, of creation. That's what we get in the first six verses. But then he carries on. And he says, but if you have this passion for the glory of God, then you also discover that the Lord is no heavy weight. The Lord is like honey. He uses all the words in the Hebrew language for the law, the word of God, the precepts of God. He runs through all of it until he has no words more. And he declares his delight in doing what God has told us to do. And it's of a piece with his delight in creation. But first creation, we'll come back to the law in a minute, but let's look at creation. Von Ruler, the Dutch theologian, says a beautiful thing. He says, every created thing is a name for God. And what he means is this: if you hear the thunder, God's name is awesome. If you see the soft soaking rain replenishing the earth with its nourishment, allowing everything to grow, then God's name is provider. If you see the stars, if you see Antares, and you imagine the depth, the vastness of it all, God's name is immeasurable. I think that's what von Ruler means. Every little bit of God's creation tells me something more of who God is, of what God has done. Let me pull back the curtains and paint a few small pictures of God's glory in creation. There's a gentle and a patient power present in creation that never ceases to amaze me. Rutherford Platt, somebody who wrote a number of books on creation, tells the story of how a large tree's roots cleft a half-ton boulder. It cleft the boulder, and and kept growing and lifted it a foot in the air. I couldn't find a picture of that. This is the closest I could get to that. That's an ordinary pine. But imagine the little sapling finding its way into a crevice in the rock and in the end prying the whole thing apart. Imagine the force exerted by that little sapling that has now grown into a small tree. It's just incredible to imagine it. The first effort to try and measure the power of growing things, growing plants, was done in 1875 by a farmer with a very inquisitive mind in Massachusetts. What he did was to attach a weightlifting mechanism to a growing squash to measure the force with which the squash was expanding. And he was astonished by what he found. He had to keep piling weights onto the counterbalance to measure the force exerted by this ordinary little squash. Well, ordinary is probably not the word for it. He ended up, to his absolute amazement, measuring 5,000 pounds per square inch. That was the force of this ordinary occurrence that we see every day with no clue to the mystery of what's going on. When he reported it, nobody wanted to believe him. So he set up a public experiment in town. And once the word spread, people came from far and wide to see this marvel of a squash growing. Something we see every day, but just walk by without imagining. The annual report of the Massachusetts Board of Agriculture in 1875 reported on it, and I read, "Many thousands of men, women, and children of all classes of society visited it. Mr. Penlow watched it day and night, making hourly observations. Professor Parker was moved to write a poem about it. Professor Seeley declared that he positively stood in awe of it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. What name could we give God? Maybe God of gentle power." Let's look at another example of God's glory being spoken to us in creation. This past week, Francie and I drove on the A96 to Aberdeen and then back again. And we were impressed again by the beauty of the vast fields of grain around us. But the most impressive thing about it all is hidden from sight. If you pull up one little plant and you look at the root system, you would hardly imagine the world locked up in that. There's only been one attempt to measure the growth of roots in plants that I know of. I found it in Annie Dillard's A Pilgrim at Tinker Creek that gave me a number of these little pictures. She tells about experimenters who tried to measure the root system of one single rye plant. They planted it in a greenhouse, kept it separate, and allowed it to grow for 4 months. And then they carefully removed the soil from the roots, and they started measuring. It must have taken them quite a while. Listen to what they found. This little rye plant, in 4 months, had grown 378 miles of roots. 378 miles of roots. That comes to about 3 miles a day. It's incredible. And then they started measuring the hair roots. And how they managed that, I don't know. I can only shake my head in disbelief. They found 14 billion root hairs. 14 billion root hairs on this little plant. And if placed end to end, it would extend 6,000 miles. Now imagine the root system of one ordinary tree. You see, we live in a world that's not ordinary by a long shot. It's filled with mysteries that we walk past every day without even noticing them. Impressed? So am I. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. What name should we give God? Maybe Spectacular God, if that could somehow account for what we've seen. After pointing out a number of equally dazzling occurrences in nature, Annie Dillard remarks, "The Creator loves pizzazz." Another little picture, the world of insects. Edward Wade Teal reports that a lone aphid, we've seen all of them on the backs of plants, mostly these little plant lice. If we allowed one lone aphid to breed unmolested, is what he says, we would find that although this little aphid, if we gave it a year to breed unmolested, even though it's only 1/10 of an inch long, its offspring, if we put them in one line, would extend into space 2,500 light years. Now, we can't even imagine one light year. 2,500 is just beyond comprehension. If we look at a drop of water under a microscope, a drop of seawater especially, we would find that even though it looks like it's clear water, it's a soup of living organisms, most of which too small for the naked eye to spot. But some of them would occur as little dust specks, living organisms. The sheer mass of life in clear water would astonish us. If you added the weight of all the copepods, one little species, the most plentiful of all, you find them in seawater and also in ordinary rivers and dams. Copepods are the most plentiful of all living species on Earth. And if you added the weight of all copepods, they would be by far more than the weight of any other living species, including human beings. But they're microscopic. You can only just spot them if you look closely. The whole world is absolutely flooded with life. And that's what God does. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. What name should we give God? I almost give up. God of extravagance, maybe. I feel I'm running out of language, as we soon do when we see what God has done, when we develop an eye for creation and the wonders of creation. But enough. One can go on like this forever. We can go on for a long time and we would be filled with wonder at every turn. Indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. But let's step deeper into the meaning of God's awesome creation. Today is our congregation's Climate Sunday, in anticipation of the worldwide Climate Sunday in September. There are some sensible reasons for us to pay attention to climate. I mean, we're all aware of the floods and the droughts and the fires in California and all over the world. And as time progresses, earth warming, all of these things worry us. And rightly, they should do so. There are some sensible reasons why we should be worried about it and do something about it. We want to leave a world where our children and grandchildren can live properly, where they can have a livable world. We want to leave a world like that for our children and grandchildren. We ourselves want to see the tide turned and creation become more the way that it should be, the way God created it to be. It makes complete sense for that to motivate us to take care of the earth. But there's another and very urgent reason, maybe the most urgent reason, well, not maybe, I think it is the most urgent reason of all to take care of creation. And I should have pushed that on. And the reason is simply not to silence the voices that sing God's praises. If we become aware that creation is there not just for our sustenance, but also for the glory of God. That a lot of it is hidden from sight. It rains on the sea as well, where it does us no good, where no crops are planted. There are things that happen just to happen for the glory of God, to sing the glory of God. And this becomes something very, very important to us as Christians. We should protect the choir. We should see that creation is holy in the same sense that the Bible is holy, as the Word of God, as something that speaks out to the glory of God. And for that very reason, for the reason that we find God's fingerprints, that we see it as something that gave God joy in Genesis 1, we should be very protective of creation. There's another there's more to Psalm 19 than this. Psalm 19 carries on, and it starts speaking about the law, the Word of God. As I said, it uses all the words there are for God speaking to us, for the written Word of God that we have. That we have the good fortune to have received from God. And it does it in a way that also sheds light on creation, on the reasons why we should be careful about the way we live in this world. When one reads Psalm 19, it's almost as if it's disjointed, as if the editor forgot to write Psalm 20. At the end of verse 6, because he suddenly just makes a move from creation to the law. And then he glorifies the Lord. He tells us it's sweeter than honey. He uses every device he has to in his toolbox to tell us how wonderful the law is. What he does here is actually to transpose our reasons to take care of creation to the world of ethics. It's not only expedient to look after creation, it's wrong to not look after it. It's the right thing to do to protect creation. That's what he does. In the same way that it's the right thing, that it's wrong to steal and to lie and to covet and do all the things that the Word of God prohibits us, in the same way it's also wrong to not take care of creation. He moves it to that world. Acting in destructive ways is just as wrong as stealing and doing all these other wrong things. Acting in protective ways is a life that glorifies God, that allows the voice to be heard, that allows our children and our grandchildren to live in a hospitable world. And so taking care of the world also for the sake of our children and grandchildren is also a good reason. It also glorifies God, God the provider. We gain quality in life by looking after creation, in the same way that we gain quality in life by obeying God's precepts, by obeying the law of God. Because this is the instruction manual for life. And what Psalm 19 does is to join them together to say it makes sense. Both of them make equal sense, and we should adhere to it. What name should we give God? Maybe the God of sustenance, where he takes care of us in so many ways. But I need to end. Once we've been alerted to the voice of creation, we can open up to it. Annie Dillard tells us in Pilgrim of Tinker Creek, how she also went on a walk, the way Willie and Nick did. And she says, she ends the book with this, and I read, "And like Billy Bray, I go my way." And now she describes her footfall, the sound of her footfall. "My left foot says glory, and my right foot says amen. In and out of Shadow Creek, upstairs and down, exultant, in a daze, dancing, to the twin silver trumpets of praise," her two legs. That's the way we walk through the world. That's our footfall. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. May our footsteps in this week be to the glory of God. Amen. Creator God, God of wonders, we stand before you in awe. Day by day, we are immersed in your wonders. We've grown so used to them that we seldom stop to notice, seldom catch our breaths at the wonder of it all. Draw our attention to these faithful witnesses of your glory, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the ocean, the trees, the rivers, all of it. Dig us ears to hear their voices. Grant us eyes to see not only their beauty and their glory, but your glory and beauty and goodness. We've become aware, Lord God, of some of the ways we stifle these voices by damaging your creation. We confess this to you, and we pray that you help us to find alternatives to harmful things that have become so ingrained in our ways of living on this wonderful planet. We pray that you help us to repair some of the damage done to your creation before it is too late. We pray this for our children and our grandchildren's future, but we also pray this so that these glorious witnesses to your goodness and your glory may not be stifled. And now again, we dedicate ourselves to you as your servants, Lord. In all things, we want to follow you, glorify you. Take what we offer, our material gifts, our time, our abilities, our voices. Use them to your glory and for the coming of your kingdom. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is CH4252, As a Fire is Meant for Burning. Sue Cunningham can't be with us today, but she has sent us a recording, so she will now lead us in our prayers for the future and our intercessory prayers.
Let's start our prayer today with these words from Psalm 86. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Now, as we pray together, we thank you for your promises that you will answer our prayers. And Lord, we confess that our hearts are troubled as we hear of so much pain and suffering in the world about us. We think of the horrifying statistics of drug deaths in our own country. We ask that you provide wisdom and guidance for those dealing with this problem. We ask that you would draw near to and support each individual whose lives are controlled by their addiction. We ask that their families and friends would be supported fully. We ask in your name, Lord, that you would guide our leaders as they steer us through these changed times due to the pandemic. We ask that as a country, we will move forward in hope and togetherness without recrimination and regret. We thank you for the remarkable immunisation programme we have received in the UK, and we pray that this would be made available ultimately to all nations across the world. Thank you, O Lord, for this, our church family. Thank you for blessing us in our friendships, both new and old. Thank you for the members of this congregation, both past and present. Thank you for your plans for our future as we look for your guidance as to how we can best serve our community. Thank you for Bridar and Francie, for Grant, for Alistair, and thank you for all the people who work so hard to bring us our weekly church service and our regular church family support. And so we ask you, our everlasting Father, that you make each of us part of your solution. And so, may we bring good news. May we offer hope. May we be righteous. May we bring and be the light of God where we are. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. We sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is CH 4154, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder.
Thank you.
now into a world singing God's praises. Go with the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.